I'm Lynn Burchie, and I'm doing Max Weber.
I'm Siobhan Reed, and I'll be doing Irving Goffman.
I'm Macy Fleming, and I will be doing Karl Marx.
I'm Nicola Vista, and I'll be doing Emile Durkheim. Welcome to Sociology Today, where we explore the thoughts of influential thinkers on contemporary issues. Today we're diving deep into how four major sociologists, Max Weber, Irving Goffman, Karl Marx, and Emile Durkheim, might interpret mental health. These thinkers have shaped much of how we understand society, and today we'll see how their ideas can help us make sense of mental health in the modern world. Now let's bring out the sociologists, starting with Max Weber.
It's Max Weber. I'm a sociologist who explored the profound change in society that brought the rise of modern capitalism, bureaucracy, and rationalization of everyday life. This is my first. While my theory of rationalization is the great place to start, in my view, rationalization is the process by which society becomes increasingly organized around effectively predictable and controlled. My idea is how life will manage in by rules in the workplace and personal lives.
Hi, I'm Emile Durkheim. I am a French sociologist, and I'm going to talk about the work I have done. My most famous works are The Division of Labor in Society, Rules of Sociological Method, Suicide, and Elementary Forms of Religious Life. I focus a lot on understanding society and its influence on human behavior. Religion is also a major concept I focus on a lot and in how it influences society.
Hi, I am Irving Goffman, and I am a sociologist who is best known for my work on symbolic interactionism and the concept of dramaturgy. I explore how people present themselves in everyday life, linking social interactions to a theatrical performance where individuals manage their impressions in front of others. One of my most famous works is The Presentation of Self in Everyday Life, where I delve into these concepts. My ideas have had a lasting impact on how we understand social behavior and identity.
Hi, I'm Karl Marx. I'm a sociologist, philosopher, economist, and historian. I am a thinker who is not only concerned with external forces that shape a society, but the internal struggles that define human experiences. My life's work has been about analyzing the forces of production, social relations, and unequal distribution of power.
Well, now that we have everyone here for Sociology Today, can we get everyone's input about stigmas related to mental health? Because we all know mental health stigma is the negative attitudes, beliefs, and stereotypes that people may have about those with mental health conditions. But Durkheim, Marx, Goffman, Faber, did I say it right? What are your insights?
Yeah, I'll go first. Mental and emotional well-being is often treated as an individual problem. That's why it is treated with therapy or medication rather than its rooted issue of structural inequality. I believe the ways to address mental health problems in society is to change the material conditions.
I believe that mental health stigmas arise from the societal tendency to categorize and label people based on their mental health conditions. These labels can lead to individuals being treated as outsiders or being seen as fundamentally different from others. This stigmatization can result in discrimination, social exclusion, and a reluctance to seek help due to fear of judgment. These stigmas are maintained through social interactions and reinforced by cultural norms and media portrayals.
I believe that the mental well-being of individuals is very important because mental well-being is linked to their ability to feel connected in society. If they are mentally unwell, they are more likely to engage in more social interactions, which is needed to maintain a functioning society.
Well, think about it like this. Our modern world is driven by new performance achievements being affected. We must fit into systems from work to education, the value, the outcomes, personal well-beings.
Say more.
I'm a sociologist who explores the profound changes of society brought about the rise of modern capitalism and bureaucracy and radiation of everyday life. What do you guys think are the causes of mental health?
I wrote a book called Asylum, and what I wrote is that the experiences that people have had in mental institutions are dehumanizing and humiliating. Patients felt devalued, which produced disordered behaviors, so that would make any human go mad.
I believe that mental health can be achieved when we transform conditions in which people live and work under. When an individual has the power to shape their own life and engage in meaningful and fulfilling labor, mental health will become better. To have good mental health, people need to have relationships with others that are not mediated by exploitation or inequality.
I believe mental health is like an iron cage where individuals are confined by rigid rules and leading to feelings powerless, detachment from each decision-making through process.
I believe the cause of poor mental health is anomie. Anomie is a state of normlessness or disorientation that occurs when societal norms and values become unclear. In this state, individuals may feel disconnected from society and unsure of their purpose in life.
Well, rationalization is a great place to start. In my view, rationalization is a process by which society becomes increasingly organized around effective, predictable, and control. It's an idea how life is manageable by rules from the workplace into their personal lives.
I have a bit of a different perspective on its role in modern society. You see, while you emphasize the iron cage of bureaucracy and the potential loss of meaning in a rationalized world, I think the division of labor is a necessary step for societal progress. Societies grow more complex, and we need this division of labor in order to foster organic solidarity. It's through this interdependence that society can continue to function smoothly. Sure, these changes require new forms of moral regulation, but I believe that if we guide these shifts appropriately, we can avoid the disintegration of social cohesion.
I didn't focus on rationalization like Marx did, but from my own understanding is that I would observe how people interact in social settings, which is kind of related to rationalization. This shows how behavior is to fit social norms and expectations.
I think it's more about work and power in the social class.
I disagree because the well-being of the people working is super important to have a functioning society. Society functions not only through the division of labor and the exertion of power, but also through the emotional health of its members.
I agree with Durkheim. Just look at the proletarians and the bourgeoisie. The proletarians had long hours, bad working conditions, and low pay. They often felt alienated because of the rules and regulations they were forced to live under. I believe that there are four types of alienation. Alienation from self, alienation from others, alienation from the process of labor, and alienation from the product of their labor.
Well, iron cage represents a situation where individuals feel powerless and alienated from their own work and social roles, even themselves, due to overwhelmed the bureaucracy systems. I believe sense of being in a small clog, large machine can lead to feelings isolation and disconnections. Alienation is a sense of being detachment from your own life and environment, and it can due to depression, anxiety, burnout, as people may feel effort and meaningless or the lack of control over their own circumstances.
Now, I understand your concern about bureaucratic control and the rise of rationalized systems. You're right, they can create a world that feels increasingly mechanical and devoid of deeper meaning. But I believe that the real danger comes from not in the rationalization itself, but in the absence of moral regulation. We need shared values and norms to make sure that this specialization doesn't lead to alienation or anomie, which of course can occur if individuals lose sight of their connection to the larger social fabric. I see rationalization as a force that can unite people through interdependence if it's balanced with strong social ties.
There's also this concept called dramaturgy, where I compare the metaphor of theater with people's behaviors of everyday life.
People work in their everyday lives.
Mental health is not just about the work you're getting done. The mental well-being of the workers comes before the amount of work they get done.
When layoffs are high and jobs are scarce, this isn't the mindset that all employees can have. The anxiety and stress and possibly of not having a job can lead to mental health issues.
The constant need to manage impressions and conform to workplace expectations can lead to stress and anxiety, which causes mental health issues.
Well, I still believe work is more than enjoyment. Sorry. I feel like the workplace is a hell of heavy importance.
Too much work can lead to anomy. In our increasingly rationalized world, where individuals are expected to specialize and focus on their tasks, work has become not just a means of survival, but almost an all-consuming force. People are becoming so absorbed in their specific roles that they lose sight of the broader social context. When work consumes so much of a person's life, they might start to feel disconnected from the larger society. This is the core of anomy, which is when people no longer have clear guidelines or a sense of shared values to help them move forward in their lives. They feel isolated, like they're just performing tasks without meaning or connection to the rest of society. And to address this, I believe that we must ensure that people don't become overly absorbed in their individual roles. Work should be organized in a way that keeps people connected to the collective consciousness. If we don't balance the demands of specialization with moral guidance and a sense of community, we risk losing the sense of social solidarity.
It's interesting you brought up anomy. When individuals lack clear guidelines for goals and behaviors, they may experience frustration and despair, which can contribute to mental illness. This causes suicide rates to rise as well.
You're right to point that out. When individuals lose a clear sense of purpose or direction in life, it can lead to deep frustration, despair, and mental strain. This is exactly the type of breakdown I was concerned with when I talked about anomy. Without strong moral frameworks, people might struggle to find meaning in their lives, and this can lead to a sense of isolation and helplessness. In my study of suicide, I learned that anomy plays a significant role in increased suicide rates. When society is failing to provide clear guidance, or when individuals become disconnected from their community, they experience feelings of normlessness. And in extreme cases, this lack of integration into society can result in suicide. The disintegration of social bonds leads to individuals to feel like they no longer belong to anything.
I agree. Losing a sense of self or meaning in life can cause a huge mental strain. I saw this drastically between the bourgeoisie and the proletarians. The proletarians did not feel a self of control over their own lives. They always had stress and anxiety about money and how they were going to be able to take care of their families. This can lead to a huge mental strain and mental exhaustion.
I think to be successful in life, people should devote their time and work. They will be better. It will be better for their mental health if they feel like it's a higher power relying on God and supernatural figures to give something to people. Also, exploring this idea, I believe religion and different religions transitions in society, influencing values and norms. I believe practicing different religion is helpful.
Max, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't fully agree. You suggest that success in life comes from devoting oneself to work and that relying on God can provide the mental strength people need. However, I believe that while devotion to work and faith can offer some sense of purpose, the root causes of mental well-being are more complex and are deeply tied to social structures and moral regulation, not just individual beliefs or work ethic.
There's this idea I talked about called impression management. It explains the roles that people perform in religious settings and their expectations of how to behave in society. They are expected to attend services, show symbols of their faith, and participate in rituals and ceremonies.
So it's what God wants. If God wants you to perform, He will make sure you perform well in the workplace.
God would want us to perform well, but not at the cost of our mental well-being. It's through social solidarity that people will be able to find their role in the community, which will then influence their work and their behavior.
Out of curiosity, what do you guys think we could do as a society to help reduce stigmas associated with mental health? Personally, I think as a society, we can reduce the stigmas related to mental health by recognizing the root causes of capitalism. The capitalism system prioritizes productivity over well-being and stigmatizes those who cannot keep up to those demands. I believe that alienation is a core issue in a capitalist society. It causes individuals to feel disconnected with their work, with the products of their work, with others and themselves. I think it is important for action to address this systematic issues. Workers and communities must unite to demand accessibility for mental health. Workplace accommodation should be put into place and anti-stigma campaigns should be made.
So I think to reduce stigma, we must first recognize that mental health is not simply a personal issue, it's a social issue. It reflects the moral regulation that societies impose on individuals. If society isn't offering the right kind of support systems that people need, people suffering from mental health issues may feel that their condition is a reflection of their failure rather than an interaction between people and societal factors.
I believe that increasing public knowledge about mental health conditions to dispel myths and misconceptions, this can help people understand that mental health issues are common and manageable with proper treatment. Another belief that I have is encouraging open dialogue about mental health to normalize these conversations. When people see that it's okay to talk about mental health, it reduces the fear and shame associated with it. Promoting positive and accurate portrayals of individuals with mental health conditions in media and popular culture to counteract negative stereotypes. And last, fostering empathy and support within communities. When people show understanding and compassion, it can create a more inclusive environment for those experiencing mental health issues.
Well, I believe societal values and norms heavily influenced has a procedure of struggling with mental health illness. Society builds a system where rationalization often leaves little room for empathy or understanding for personal suffering. We should create an environment where individuals are seen at their weak and improvised experience for mental health challenges. As a society, we need to break down the impersonal structure that demise individuals and create a space where people are openly discuss their mental health without fear or judgment. By shifting culture narratives and creating more understanding environment, we can help individuals feel less alienation and more supported.
Thank you to our incredible sociologist for joining my podcast today, and I hope everyone has a better understanding of mental health.
Baber signing out.
Goffman signing out.
Marks signing out.
Durkheim signing out.